Well, the outrage over the cost of a life-saving allergy drug has made its way to Congress. A House Oversight Committee is investigating what it calls an unreasonable price hike for the EpiPen. The company that makes it, Mylan, bowed to public pressure yesterday, saying it will sell a generic version for half the price, but still, that's $300 for a two-pack instead of $600. The same committee held hearings last winter into another infamous drug price hike when the so-called Pharma Bro CEO Martin Shkreli jacked the price of Daraprim from $13.50 to $750 overnight. Sarah Cliff covers health policy for Vox. She's with us now. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, we've heard these two high-profile stories recently, Martin Shkreli and Mylan dramatically raising their drug prices. How common is it for pharmaceutical companies to jack prices like this, and how often does it not make the headlines?
It happens a lot. It's something that's common. And I think when you look at these two high-profile cases we've had recently, they speak to a bigger issue that happens in that's very unique to the United States. We are one of the few developed countries that does not regulate our drug prices, which means that we can see these spikes kind of seem to happen out of nowhere when a pharmaceutical company decides they, you know, have a monopoly on a market, they want to charge more. There's really nothing stopping them from just hiking up their prices.
Is it just about profit? Because in the case of the EpiPen, Mylan's CEO's salary rose from about $2.5 million a year to almost $19 million a year as the price of the EpiPen was jacked up.
Yeah, so some of it certainly is about profit. If you look at the healthcare industry writ large, you do see that pharma companies do tend to have the largest profit margins. When you talk to pharmaceutical companies, the arguments that they'll make are about needing more money to make innovative new products. So if they are getting more money from the drugs they have in the market, they're able to invest that in research, they're able to create new drugs that are going to save lives, that are going to kind of push our medical knowledge forward. And there definitely is truth to that in the academic research. More spending on research and development does lead to better drugs. But at some point, you have questions of access. If we're making these great drugs that are saving lives, but no one can afford them, how useful are they to Americans?
You've been reporting about this, and you wrote in a story that you did, the American government is exceptional in that it has no power to regulate drug prices. Is that right? No power at all?
None. Actually, our Medicare system, which covers Americans over 65, is prohibited from negotiating drug prices. They are not allowed to ask for a lower price. So whatever pharmaceutical companies want to charge, they get to. And I loved, you know, a quote. I talked to one drug pricing expert who kind of put the pharmaceutical industry's dilemma this way. When the sky's the limit, what do you even charge?
How do other countries regulate drug pricing?
They essentially treat it as a utility, like electricity or water, something you need to survive. And, you know, if you look at Europe, basically the entire continent has some kind of body that will regulate drug prices, set, you know, this is what we're willing to pay for a price. Usually there's a negotiation with pharma. But because they're essentially buying in bulk, it's like when you go to Costco and, you know, you're willing to buy a lot of drugs, you can negotiate lower prices. In the United States, you know, Medicare doesn't negotiate. Insurance plans are very fragmented. There's millions of different insurance plans in the United States. So everyone's kind of buying a small amount of drugs, and that means they can't really get good deals with the pharmaceutical industry.
Do you expect all of the outrage and bipartisan outrage in the case of what Mylan has been doing to lead the Congress to actually change the way things are done when it comes to negotiating drug prices or setting limits in this country?
I am somewhat skeptical. You know, there definitely has been a movement by liberals to, you know, get to push for Medicare's ability to negotiate drug prices. It didn't go anywhere during the Obamacare debate. Pharmaceuticals are a very, you know, heavy lobbying hand here in Washington. And I think you'll see a bit of a fracture on what the different parties want to happen. You might see conservatives and Republicans on the Hill, instead of saying we need to regulate drug prices, they might say, well, we need to deregulate the FDA, that they're keeping these EpiPen alternatives off the market. So I don't know that there will be this cohesive coalition to regulate drug prices. I think you'll see kind of a traditional partisan fracturing about what is the best way to lower drug prices in the United States.
And of course, the whole idea of competition lowering prices only works when there actually is competition in a certain market and not just one company making the product.
Totally. And that's what makes this EpiPen situation a little bit unique, because the drug, as many people have pointed out, is generic. It's not new. It's not patented. What's made it a little hard for generic competitors to come in is it appears that the device that EpiPen is in, the thing you use to inject it, that is under patent. So you end up with this weird situation where you have a generic drug that's super cheap to make, but you don't have any generic competitor. You don't have something a pharmacist could substitute because of the, you know, difference of this being an injectable drug versus a tablet that you take.
That's Sarah Cliff, who covers health policy for Vox.com. Sarah, thanks as always.
Yeah, thank you.